بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We're discussing the fifth ruku of Surah Al-Baqarah. يا بني إسرائيل اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأوفوا بعهدي أوفي بعهدكم وإياي فارهبون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the Bani Israel, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds them of His favors, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions certain aspects that are relating to the Bani Israel. But this is also a lesson for this ummah. And as we mentioned previously, this address is mainly being made to the prominent people among the Bani Israel, the rabbis, the scholars, that they had knowledge of the previous scriptures. They knew very well the description of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. Allah Ta'ala says, those who we gave the book to, we blessed them with the book, then they recognize Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam just as they recognize their own children. Father sees his child, he's not confused that this is not my child. So they knew Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they had the knowledge, but it was for some worldly gain and worldly benefit that they decided to hide the truth. If they told the people that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the final prophet, then they would lose their following. People would lose their respect for them. The perks that they were getting, the benefits that they were getting, the gifts that they were getting, all will stop. So they thought to themselves, we don't want to jeopardize these worldly benefits. So they decided to conceal the truth. So Allah Ta'ala mentioned, وَلَا تَلْبِسُ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ. Do not mix the truth with falsehood. When sometimes certain verses were brought before them, that this is the verse that appears in the scriptures. So they gave some fancy explanation, some interpretation, and they mixed the truth with the falsehood. وَتَكْتُمُ الْحَقَّ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. And do not conceal the truth when you know very well what is the reality. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed them, وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةِ وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. That you come into Islam with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you bring iman on the Quran Sharif and establish salah. We mentioned previously, throughout the Quran Sharif you'll find establish salah. So the Quran Sharif doesn't only speak about reading namaz, but doing it with perfection. You know, iqamat means to make something straight. So here that salah must be completely perfect. There must be no imperfections in that salah. Salah must be done with complete precision, perfection. Every single aspect of that salah, every posture of that salah, every posture, we need to work on bringing that salah to perfection. Then wa'atu zakah, give zakat. So remember, these ibadat, if you do it properly, then it will have a certain type of a spiritual effect on you. A person establishing salah, now he'll get some humility in him. Somehow you'll become a more humble person, a better person. A man that is giving zakat, then slowly the love of the dunya starts coming out from his heart. Even giving sadaqah. Person giving sadaqah is giving zakat. So because he's parting away with the money, so the love for the dunya is coming out, because very often these are the root causes. Love for the dunya. Remember, see the same thing. Why those people, they knew the truth. Why they could not pronounce the truth? Why they could not say the truth? Was the love for the dunya. They were gripped with the love of the world. And often, we too may be in situations where we cannot let go of certain things. Why? Love of the dunya. Now the person, someone passed away, the estate needs to be distributed. But someone is holding on to that. They don't want to let go. Love of the dunya. Love of the dunya has the better over them. Although they know very well that these are all the other heirs. These shares have to go to these other heirs. But they're not worried about that. It's the love of the dunya that has gripped them, that has consumed them. So أقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة واركعوا مع الراكعين. And read namaz with those who are reading namaz, meaning perform salah in jama'at. So this ayat here is addressing the Bani Israel, but as I mentioned, also this injunction applies to us, that perform salah with those who are performing. So wherever you go, remember, wherever you go in the dunya, always try to perform your salah in jama'at. Look for a masjid. You get certain people, they're so particular about namaz, that even if they're going somewhere, the first thing they'll find out is there a masjid nearby or not? Or some musalla, or where we can read namaz in jama'at. They're so particular about the performing salah in jama'at. And if there are few people together, then they must make jama'at. Maybe on the journey, person is stopping somewhere along the way, few people are traveling together, perform salah in jama'at, because there's so many benefits for performing that salah in jama'at. There's so great rewards now, person performing it in jama'at. Sometimes in that congregation, you're getting now hundreds of people in the congregation. One person may be a selected servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, accepted servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To the barakat of that one person, all of a namaz gets accepted. That person is raising his hand, he's making dua. To the barakat of him, all our duas are accepted. We all are making dua, but one person in that congregation is an accepted servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's a wali of Allah, he's a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why you'll find the sahaba were so particular about performing salah in jama'at and coming to the masjid, that in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was only a hypocrite whose hypocrisy was known. People knew that he's a hypocrite that would not come. Or a person that was very, very sick. But even the sick person, he would try his level best to come to the masjid. He may have to recline and support and people and walk, but somehow or the other push himself and come to the masjid. He would sit and he would perform salah, but he would try to be in the masjid and perform that salah in jama'at. And you'll find some great saints right till the last. You know, the man is like in Sakrat, he's dying. They told him, "Me, Hazrat, you dying now?" He said, no, I'm going to the masjid. It's okay, I'd rather die in the masjid. My ruh comes out in the masjid, it's even better." So you get people like that also. They came to the masjid in that state and they even passed away too like that. So that we have to have a special attachment with performing salah in jama'at. Always that our heart needs to be attached to the masjid. The hadith speaks about rajulun qalbuhu mu'allaqun bil masjid. Among the seven people, one of the people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless him with the shade of the arsh on the day of Qiyamah, when people are drowning in their perspiration, is a person whose heart is attached to the masjid. He's leaving the masjid, already he's thinking, "Now when am I going to come back?" He's already planning now, screaming now, "All right, just now, just few hours time, I'll be back in the masjid." Already planning, coming early to the masjid. He's there early, he's trying to do everything with perfection, and he's showing respect to the masjid also. It mustn't be that the person coming to the masjid and he's showing disrespect. No, while he's in the masjid, he's very disciplined, he's not doing anything out of turn, he's not causing taklif to anyone, no inconvenience to anyone. The man is focused on his ibadat, he's focused in his namaz. Now that man is benefiting from the environment of the masjid, because the masjid is surrounded with farishtas. So when we are sitting in the masjid, we in the environment of farishtas. There was one buzurg, a very great senior scholar of hadith, the ustad of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi, Ubaidullah ibn Umar al-Qawariri rahmatullah alayhi. Very, very particular of performing salah in the masjid in jama'at. Remember those days, they didn't have clocks. You know what a great ni'mat the clock is. You can see the time. You also got a time now. You know now, 7 o'clock is jama'at, or 10 to 7, whatever time is jama'at. You know now that namaz is that time, isha namaz. So it's easy. There's no difficulty. So this person one day, that time, they didn't have clocks. They knew now, more or less, they had some idea in their minds. Whatever the azan will be given after that, shortly the namaz will commence. So the man had a guest. So because he got busy with his guest, He just lost track of time. And that is also our responsibility. The hadith says, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyukrim dayfa." That person who got iman in Allah in the last day, he must show honor to his guest. He must show a lot of consideration. You know, your guest is coming to your house. Don't be person now that the guest came and now you're thinking of being offended now. Why the guest came? Should be happy. The mihman came to your house, always be happy. A lot of barakat comes to that home wherein there's guests, where people eat. So he lost track of time. Then he went to the masjid and he seen that the jamaat is finished. So he went around Basra, he went to different masjids. Everywhere the namaz is over. So he thinks to himself, the hadith says that 27 times the reward is multiplied. So let me go home and read my namaz 27 times. How many people think like this here? I must read jamaat, never mind, I read 27 times. Man misses jamaat quickly, read his farz quickly, and he went and he slept away. So he went and he read his isha 27 times. Then, in the night, he's seeing in the dream that he's on the horse, and there's other horse riders, and it's like a race. And he's trying to catch up with the other horse riders. So he's really jolting his horse, and he's kicking his horse, and he's pushing it. And there's also some link with the word salah and horse riding. So someone who knows about interpretation of dreams, and he'll understand why this came in this form. So one of the riders, he looked back and he told him that don't waste your time trying to catch up with us, because we read our namaz in jamaat. Because we read our namaz in jamaat, no matter how much you're going to try now, you're not going to reach up to us. So the man who read his namaz in jamaat, that rank that he got, the position that he got, you won't get it if you don't read it in jamaat. There was another buzurg, very similar incident. He read it 25 times. And then someone told him in the dream, what about the Ameen of the Malaika? Because the hadith says, when the Imam says Ameen, then you must also say Ameen. We say Ameen softly, but you're supposed to say Ameen. That فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ وَافَقَ تَأْمِينُهُ تَأْمِينَ الْمَلَائِكَ غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِ. If that person's Ameen coincides with the Ameen of the Malaika, then his sins are all forgiven. Previous, the minor sins are forgiven. Just by saying the Ameen. So that buzurg was, okay, you read your namaz 25 times. But where are you going to get the Ameen of the Malaika? That you're only going to get in the Jamaat. When the Imam is saying Ameen, and that time the Farishtas are also saying Ameen. Because the whole congregation is filled with Malaika and filled with pious jinnat, etc. So this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but always remember this year, أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةُ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةُ. Try and always read your namaz in jamaat. Read namaz with those people who are reading namaz. That namaz will have a different reward, a different effect, and a different impact on our lives and our hearts. May Allah grant us a true understanding. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا.